Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Melba.
Would be a little weird. Sounds like a, no offense, but sounds like an older woman's name.
Yeah, or a toast's name.
A toast?
Yeah, Melba toast.
I don't know if I've ever had that.
I know you have. Have you ever been in one of those old school steakhouses that's got like the basket of crackers on the
table?
Oh,
yeah, I've had those.
Melba toast is in there. It's the brown toast.
I never knew it was known by anything other than just toast.
It is a specific kind of toast, Melba toast.
I've learned something new today.
You know, this podcast is here not only to entertain, but to inform. And
we always try to put in some interesting nuggets from time to time.
Normally, they're about Mississippi State sports, but today it was about toast.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
You never know what you're going to learn here on Thunder and Lightning. This is something that you should, well, maybe not. I was going to say you should allow your kids to listen to on a daily basis, but there's certain days.
Yeah,
we start talking about murder and
adult movies, all kinds of things like that.
Yeah. It can get a little dicey.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe and then Brian cusses sometimes.
Maybe we should throw like a TVMA up there every now and then. Yeah, like Raw used to do.
The following is rated PG-13.
Yeah,
for abusive language.
Yeah,
violence
and strong sexual innuendo. It's like you used to get a Game of Thrones and they'd be like, all right, we got violence, we got language. Ooh, we got nudity. And then 5-10 minutes in, it's some dude. You're like, ah, come on. So things like that.
I did not partake. Well, I did watch it. So I can't lie to my mother.
Game of Thrones.
On the
I know. Yeah. You saw it. You're still watching that show. So.
I am. What, the House of the Dragon last night? It was easily top two episode in the series to this point. It might have been the best. It was really good. Now, you're not interested, but this episode was legit.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. 5 minutes worth of talk in the middle of one ad.
Yeah, GJCCK12 is going to be really mad on our...
We'll get over it. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. You need to reach out to Cam Baker. If you're a business owner and you're a Mississippi State fan, he's got a plan to make you a Bulldog Initiative business without spending an extra dime of your own money. You're already spending money on printing. Switch over to Pip Printing and Signs. 10% of your sale goes directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. That's a no-lose situation for you and for Mississippi State. Your business will benefit, as do the Bulldogs. Call 601-499-5216 and talk to Cam Baker. Tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. It's a new day and a new era at Mississippi State. Celebrate it with new gear. The state script, the interlocking, the M over S. That's what we're wearing going forward. We're not looking back in the past, the Banner M. So change up your wardrobe with a trip to College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can always shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Ben 612, if you're looking for a place for lunch or dinner in Starkville and you want to go somewhere, you know, a little different, someplace you maybe haven't been recently, or maybe you've never even been before. You've been to the Ben. I'm sure you've been there and had a cocktail there in the evening, but have you ever eaten there? You should if you haven't already. The food is fantastic. They got a great menu, and there's a little something for everybody on that menu. If you want a burger, a sandwich, if you want pizza, they got salads. They got great stuff there. And of course, they are the reason Starkville is the cheese fry capital of the world. Next time you're thinking about a great meal here in Starkville, maybe you need to head to Ben 612. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you when and where you need to find that location near you and show you all of the great services they're going to offer you to help you manage your money. You did the hard work. You got the money to the bank. Let Priority One take it from there. Show you how to invest, show you how to manage your money, and show you how to benefit your family for years to come. 16 locations means if you live in Central Mississippi, there's one near you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie, if I was ranking the top two most important guys here on this show, I would vote myself one and you tied for first.
I would even venture to say I'm just straight up number two.
No. I will never allow you to say that. You can't. I will not allow you to think so lowly of yourself.
Well, here's the thing.
I think that number two.
You have survived. This podcast has survived now three co-hosts. This is number three.
Like Spinal Tap, we just run through drummers.
This podcast, if you cease to exist, God forbid, today.
Yeah.
I would not know what to do.
I'm fine.
I would be done.
Well,
I would be out of a job. If I cease to exist today, you would go, oh, well, anyways, who's next?
I would not. First off, I would.
Grace? Where's Grace?
Be a little, you know, more emotional.
You would mourn for a few days, I'm sure.
If I were to cease to exist today, you would be on Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow. You would take over my job.
I don't know. I don't know if that would work.
I've already lined out to go with the House of the Dragon.
The plan of secession?
I have the plan of succession already in place.
Am I in your will?
You're my male heir. My daughter, Aislinn, she's not fit for the throne.
I'm Aegon.
I don't know.
I want to be Aegon the Conqueror.
Okay, you can be him. That's fine.
I don't want to be Viserys' son. He's kind of a wimp.
Anyone else they bring in, we have to go back to like the original Game of Thrones. Anyway, if they were to not choose you, that person would be a usurper. They would be like Robert Baratheon. And he saw it.
There you go. So. He was killed by a boar.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, he's kind of murdered, but that's fine. I say all that to say today we're going to talk about who is important to Mississippi State football this year. Who are the most important players on the roster? And I thought we'd come at it from this perspective, Robbie. Blake Shapen is obviously number one. So let's just not worry with Blake Shapen. All right, that's a done deal. We'll talk about Blake Shapen another time. Who is, in your opinion, outside of Shapen, the most important player on this roster for 2024?
Ooh, I don't know if I can pinpoint just one guy. It's kind of like position groups for me.
Okay.
And obviously, on the offensive side of the ball, I think you have to go with two key positions, center and left tackle. That's always my two positions on the offensive line that you have to shore up first. You want a guy that's going to be able to snap the ball cleanly and block at the same time. And all signs point to Ethan Miner being able to do that at a high level, but it is a jump from the SEC, from North Texas to the SEC. But I mean, it looked like State shored up that left tackle. I mean, I think is a big deal as well. I think McCollum Pounders has got to come in, or somebody has got to come in the fall, lock that spot down immediately and be a guy that is going to keep Blake Shapen upright. Because like you said, I mean, you're kind of eliminating Blake Shapen out of this argument because it's a given that the quarterback is really what makes teams roll.
Any team. Yeah. I can't. How many teams in college football do you think the quarterback isn't the most important player? Maybe like two. Yeah.
I mean, you can look at like some of these teams like at Alabama and Georgia, and you could make an argument that he's the their quarterback's definitely not the most talented player on the team, or doesn't appear to be the most important. But does Georgia do what they did a couple of years ago without Stetson Bennett being able to just command that offense? I don't think that anybody's going to take – anybody would take Stetson Bennett number one in their draft.
Right.
But everybody would have taken him as their starting quarterback in college football because of how he managed that football team. If it's somebody else stepping into that role that's not quite ready for it, I don't know if Georgia's able to do what they did. So even the guys that might not be the most talented – you have to have a guy that is able to come in there and just steady things for you on the offensive side of the ball. Blake Shapen might not be Mississippi State's most talented quarterback, but you have to keep him healthy. And keeping him healthy means keeping him upright, keeping other teams from sacking him, from laying the lumber on him. You got to have good offensive line play. I think guys like McCollum Pounders, Ethan Miner, even, at right tackle, potentially Leon Bell. The offensive line, to me, is the most important thing for Mississippi State this year on the offensive side of the ball. They've got to be good. That's got to be a unit that's cohesive. There's a lot of new faces up front. You're basically coming in with four new starters for sure, I think. And, another one of those starters – I guess is Albert Reese, who wasn't a full-time starter. So you basically got a brand new offensive line. Can that group be good enough to take care of Blake Shapen, to move the pile when they're running the football, to kind of command things up front? I think, to me, that's my number one priority is the offensive line.
I mean, and I think Jeff Lebby would agree with you, 100%, because it is about the line and those two positions specifically. Center play, State was inconsistent last year at the center position. Left tackle, I mean, it's difficult to say the left tackle position was a huge issue for State last year because everything was just such a huge issue offensively. But in this offense, yeah, that left tackle is going to have to be able to stand strong. So Pounders and Miner are very good choices by you. If I were to stay on the offensive side of the ball, we talked about running backs yesterday, but it's difficult to single out one guy, right, in that group. But on that side of the ball, from the receiver position, Kelly Akari has to be a guy that shows up in this offense. We talked about it a little bit earlier or last week, I think, where not only has this offense been pretty consistent in what it gets from the passing game from the quarterback position, but basically every year there's a receiver who's between, 50, 60, 70 catches for well over 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns. And in my opinion, Akari is the most likely candidate to be that guy. State has got to have a big play receiver. You can't have big plays in the passing game if you don't have a big play receiver. And so that's a guy that, to me, I have my eye on to be that guy. I think, we've talked so many times about State's, slump or streak in the draft. If they haven't had a wide receiver drafted since 1996. That streak has to break. And I think Akari is your best chance of that. He was a huge play guy at UTEP. Now you're putting him into a situation with, I think, an upgrade at quarterback, obviously an upgrade in coaching. The talent around him is going to be good. He has to deliver this year. And at the end of the day, his stat line needs to be somewhere between 50 and 60 catches, somewhere between 800 and 1,000 yards, and close to double-digit touchdowns. And if it's not, then somebody else better have it. But I think Akari is the best option to do that. I think, what I saw of him in the spring game, he definitely looks the part. He's got the numbers prior to coming to Mississippi State. State has got to have a big-time wide receiver in this offense. He's my first choice to do it.
That was another guy that I had listed. I had two things listed, Kelly Akari and the offensive line for the offensive side of the ball. I think when we've compared State to that 2020 Ole Miss team a lot, and I don't think that Kelly Akari has to be what Elijah Moore was, because that was one of the best seasons for an SEC receiver I can remember. And a lot of that is just, they were force feeding him the ball, that he was their guy. But that season he had him, if that's a full season, he might have set some records. But that's kind of what you're looking for, is for him to be not Elijah Moore. That's, like I said, that's a big stretch. But he needs to be Mississippi State's go-to receiver. When they need a big play, they need one guy to go up there and make a play for him. That's the guy. That's kind of what you're looking for out of him this year. Far and away, Mississippi State's number one. I think they need Akari to be that.
Defensively, Robbie, who's the guy that you've got an eye on? You say, hey, he is important. You know, not necessarily the best player, not necessarily the guy who's going to put up the most stats, but his performance will dictate how things go on that side of the ball.
I've got a bunch of guys on the defensive side of the ball. And it's kind of the same thing. It's like position groups for me, especially on the defense, because I just don't know who is going to come out of that and be, you know, the difference maker for State. I mean, I guess I'll start on the defensive line. I think two guys specifically, and you might disagree with me because I know you put a lot on Travion Williams, but I don't know how he's going to return from injury right away, so I'm not going to put too much on him just yet. But I think Demonte Russell is one that I have. I think he's got to be what he was expected to be out of high school. We saw some nice glimpses last year of him kind of stepping forward. He's dealt with a lot of injuries, and he's coming out of it, and I think has become like a leader, you know, unquestioned leader of the defensive line and probably defensive unit as a whole. So he needs to be that leader, but he also needs to show the production on the field too. We need him to be pretty good this year at defensive end, because there's just not a whole lot of guys proven there. He needs to be a guy that can get in the backfield and make plays on the quarterback, can stop the run, all that stuff. And then I've mentioned Kedrick Bingley-Jones a lot because my expectations for him are growing. I know he didn't have a good career at North Carolina. If you look at his career there, it wasn't super impressive, but he dealt with a lot of injuries too, and he was a highly ranked guy coming out of high school. So when I see that, you know the potential is there. Some people saw something in him early that they felt like he would be a difference maker in college football. And again, I'd go back to the spring and hearing what we heard from Mississippi State players and coaches about Bingley Jones. And I think he can help Mississippi State a lot this year. Can he kind of plug up the middle and make some plays for you in the middle? I don't know if he's an all-SEC guy or anything like that, but they just need some production up front to really help him go there. So those are my first two guys.
Cam Young. Braxton Hoyette. Somebody who you can just rely on when he's in the game. You know, you're right. Doesn't have to be Jeff Simmons. Doesn't have to be Fletcher Cox. But just needs to be solid there in the middle and give Mississippi State something to build around defensively. I like those picks. I've put kind of all my eggs into the secondary basket, right? I feel like the defensive backfield for this team is going to tell me one way or the other. Because I just feel like at the linebacker and the defensive line position, there's enough guys there that I feel like they'll be okay, just okay. The secondary is where I have the biggest concerns, and that's going to be make or break for me. So a guy like Bryce Pollock or Kelly Jones, your two guys who are likely going to be your starting cornerbacks, maybe Brylon Lanier might be the next one there. Those are the guys that I feel are incredibly important to what Mississippi State wants to be able to achieve in 2024. You know, this day and age, if you are weak at cornerback, I mean, you might as well just not even show up, or just let's just play a shell drill out there or something, because it's going to be really, really tough to win if you're bad at the cornerback position. Now, these guys are inexperienced. I mean, Pollock is the most experienced guy, and he started, what, like five games? Jones hasn't played much at all. Lanier has not played at this level at all. You know, I don't know if Kamari Rogers is going to make a step up or not. I don't know that it's going to happen. So one of those guys has got to, you know, step into the role that Cam Dantzler and Martin Emerson and Emmanuel Forbes and Cameron Richardson held for Mississippi State. The guy that can, you know, on his best day, can shut down opposing wide receivers. I don't know which one of those guys it's going to be, and it would help a heck of a lot if it was both of them. But State's got to find a cornerback this year that can continue their streak recently of getting guys drafted and into the NFL. And if they don't, this team is going to struggle to find that sixth win and go to a bowl game. So Pollock and Kelly Jones are two for me for sure. And then one more on the defensive side of the ball for me. Just because, again, this is a defense that lacks SEC experience, and the guys who do have it don't have a ton of it. But Stone Blanton there in the middle, if he is going to, you know, it's unfair to ask him to replace the production of Bukie Watson and Jet Johnson, you know, nearly 300 tackles between the two of them. But somebody has got to step up and be that guy and be over 100 tackles this year in all likelihood. And Stone Blanton is the guy that you're probably going to circle. So there's some pressure on him there, obviously coming out of the transfer portal. He played for South Carolina. He's played a good bit of SEC football. I have to put some expectations on him. This defense, you know, when you think about the defenses that have come out of the Saban tree, linebacker play is so important for those guys. And leadership, you know, this defense is young. Devontae Russell is really the only, like, seasoned veteran on this team. Need some guys who have been there and played in these kind of games before to step up and give some leadership. And that's also very important. So Blanton could be that guy there. So Stone Blanton is definitely a guy I would say is very important for Mississippi State this upcoming season.
No doubt. I got John Lewis in that regard as far as the linebackers are concerned. we've been talking about him and how he needs to make a jump this year. This is kind of his year to do it. After the last, you know, 2 or 3 years kind of behind the older guys, Bukie Watson, Jet Johnson, and those guys, it's usually a good sign that players are about to take that next step when they start getting thrust into the media, talking to us a good bit. We didn't get a chance to see a lot of spring practices, so you have to kind of take what you can from that, talking to players, talking to coaches, seeing who they bring in there. And John Lewis came in, you know, 3 or 4 times, talked to us, and we've heard good things about him too. You know, this could be a really good switch for him, you know, getting an opportunity this year in this kind of defense. This could be a guy that can make a jump. Him and Stone Blanton and even guys like J.P. Purvis that have been around for a while, maybe even Ty Cooper, those guys have got to step up. This is a new kind of leadership at the linebacker position. Lost two guys that have been here for basically 6 years, and it's up to them to get it going. I think John Lewis is he has probably the most talent of any linebacker out there. Seeing him take that step forward would be really big. And I've also got the cornerbacks. I think that safety is going to be okay. They got enough options there. The cornerback position is a little nerve-wracking in that you just don't know, you know, what you got there. And at least it's safety. You got players even that are, you know, transfers or junior college guys that have been around for a little bit. Bryce Pollock's a sophomore. Kelly Jones is a redshirt freshman. Those are basically right now it looks like your top two. And while they're both talented, you just don't know yet. And Kelly Jones has really been flashing to the people that I talked to in, you know, the spring and summer workouts now. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that has tremendous talent. It's about putting it together now. So I've got both of those guys on my list, too, of important pieces of this year's team. If they can get in there and break up some key third down passes, some passes in the end zone that forces a team to kick a field goal, that's a win for you. I mean, you're at the point now where, like, this defense, I feel like, needs to be, like, bend but don't break.
Yeah.
Keeping teams out of the end zone, maybe stealing a turnover here or there. You just have to have possessions throughout a game where – you're holding a team out of the end zone for a little bit. You know, just don't give up a touchdown every possession. Don't have a 2016 State and Arkansas game or something. You've just got to show some resistance. And I think the cornerback position is going to be big in that. Those are guys that can get you off the field.
One more I think we might be leaving out. You know, State, we don't expect State to be a great football team. They're definitely improved and working towards that. But they're going to be playing close games, and in close games, special teams matter. Kyle Ferry is a very important player for Mississippi State this year. He is probably going to be called upon at least once to kick a field goal that might be the difference between winning and losing. I thought as a true freshman he was outstanding a season ago. He had a few misses, but, I mean, nothing that was just – I felt confident every time he came on the field. I felt like he could make the field goals that Mississippi State asked him to make. I expect him to get better, you know, with another year of experience and work. But he's going to be a key player for Mississippi State this year. So Kyle Ferry is definitely one. You know, when you're not an elite team, you better be really good on special teams, because chances are you're going to be, you know, you're going to be punting a good bit. You're going to have to field some kickoffs. You need to be good there. So, yeah, State's going to need some field goals this year. Kyle Ferry's going to have to deliver them. So,
yeah,
go ahead. I thought you were done.
I was going to say about Ferry. I mean, how many times have, you know, State fans gone into the season and just been completely worried about the kicking position?
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout the season, when you actually see the field goals missed and you miss an extra point or whatever, like, it just got to the point of insanity with this fan base. And that was, you know, after Jackie Sherrill, that was a constant issue. Mm-hmm. Jackie Sherrill always seemed to have special teams on lock, even when his kickers were not super consistent, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
You felt like you had a pretty solid kicking game, which is kind of weird. I mean, if you look at like Brian Hazelwood's percentage, for example, wasn't great, but everybody remembers him for having that game-winning field goal against Arkansas to keep Mississippi State in the running for the SEC West.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Westerfield was a really solid kicker, had some big moments. There haven't been a whole lot of those big moments since for Mississippi State, but I feel like we're getting to the point where Mississippi State, that's kind of become more of a strength. And Ferry missed some big field goals last year, but it was still a really solid season for him. For a true freshman to come in and do that was pretty impressive. I feel good about that situation, kicking and punting. I think Nicholas Barmira is going to help Mississippi State. When he came in there and handled kickoff duties, I thought State was really good there last year and could potentially punt too. So I feel like their kicking situation is getting locked down a little bit.
I agree. And we'll see how that all pans out. Let's switch over to baseball real quick. Another addition for Chris Lemonis out of the transfer portal. This was one that didn't have a whole lot of smoke around it until it started to have it, I guess you should say. There wasn't a lot of States on this guy kind of talk, but a good pickup for the Bulldogs yesterday. Excuse me for a second there. A good pickup for the Bulldogs yesterday out of the transfer portal. Relief pitcher out of the University of Virginia. I guess if you can't if you can beat them, join them will be the philosophy here for Chase Hungate. A solid addition. State needed a bullpen arm, needed a guy that, you know, had been solid. And this is the guy who's pitched in big games. I really like this addition for Chris Lemonis.
No doubt. I like this one a lot. I actually like – we discussed Travis Smith on Sunday, I guess, or Sunday for Monday. I like all three of these additions at pitcher. And, you know, Travis Smith is obviously got some things to work on, but he's done it in this league. This guy actually did it against Mississippi State. He ended Mississippi State's season with his, you know, ninth inning in the regional final against State at Virginia. Like him a lot, pitches with some sink, which is, you know, what the other two pitchers do as well. So maybe we're getting, you know, a little bit of a taste of what Justin Parker likes at the pitching position. But I like this guy. The walks are what's really impressive to me, what he's done throughout his career. And it's kind of transcended VCU, Virginia. He played with Tyler Davis and Connor Hyzak at VCU. It's transcended both of those levels. He has not been a guy that walks a lot of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Over his career, he has walked 31 batters and 141 innings. That's pretty strong, brother.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong. Yeah. 31 and 141 is a really good percentage. Threw a lot of innings last year for Virginia, 30 ball games. He was one of their more reliable pitchers out of the bullpen. Has been a bullpen arm his entire career. So I think that's I would feel certain that's probably set in stone that he's going to be a guy that pitches out of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. The State needed a really good bullpen arm, too, to come in this year. But really good numbers, a 3.74 unearned average.
Is he a potential closer, or is he just more of your long relief, whole setup kind of guy?
It kind of depends on what Mississippi State has. I feel like Gavin Black is a good potential closer for him. Okay. Or Makai Grant, if he's able to get back. I don't know if that's the kind of stuff that you see out of Hungate. But And I don't really know if you should pigeonhole a pitcher to certain type of stuff to be a closer either. Like,
true.
I've just been one of those guys, like, who's going to get the outs? You know, a lot of people think the closer has to come in and be a guy that's throwing 98, 99, gassing it up out there. I just want a guy that's going to be able to get three outs. And this guy can do it. So, possibly, but I think he's probably a long reliever to middle reliever type guy. Basically, a guy that's going to maybe change up, give you a different look from what you saw from the starting pitcher. And ground ball guy. I mean, he's, like I said, he's going to throw with some sink. He had 76 ground balls last year on the season in those 53 innings pitch. So he's going to get a lot of balls in the dirt and pitching with sink and getting those ground balls. He did have two saves last year, so I like him a lot. I like what they've done here with the pitchers. I feel like they need at least one more pitcher, and we're still looking for that other impact bat. So close, Brian. They're so close to this being a really, really, really good signing class.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about it on Monday, and we had just discussed how they were just a couple of players away, and right when we got done, I think he committed. So – That's kind of where I am now. It's getting closer and closer. This was another big step for them. Their last four guys have been really good.
Just a couple more pieces they need to get. We'll see if they can and find those guys in the portal. They're still out there. That's the good news. There's still quality guys out there in the portal for Mississippi State. We'll see if they can grab them. Let's move into our SEC preview that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I know it's hot, but I don't care. Get out there and fire up the grills. It's the summer. This is the time for it. Put a steak on the grill. Everyone's going to be happy if you do. But you know what? If you want to stay inside, you want to hit some air conditioning, you can't go wrong with any of the great steakhouses we have across the state of Mississippi. Every town has got a place to go grab a great steak. So do that this weekend. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy a great steak. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food you are looking for. And you are looking for it. You are thinking right now, you're like, man, I wish I had something great to eat. You can have it. You just got to go to Two Brothers Smoked Meats, grab some smoked wings, some pork rind nachos, a prime rib sandwich. My favorite, the chicken chipotle tacos. Don't sleep on those. They are really good. I enjoy them. And you'll enjoy whatever you have at Two Brothers. You'll also enjoy everything you have at The Older Brother, the new restaurant in town, a great place to grab a fancy sandwich. You know, it's a bistro, and I feel like that's a good description for it, but I'm just telling you, they got fancy sandwiches. That's all you need to know, and it's really, really good, and it's a cool location, and it's a great atmosphere in there, and you want to go check it out if you haven't already. So when you're looking for a great meal here in Starkville, they're right there in the Cotton District at Two Brothers Smoked Meats or at The Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. 49 years taking care of their customers. 49 years of taking care of you when you need technology at your business. Best of all, they take care of you after the sale. It's not just they when they see you walk out the door, they're not like, oh, well, don't ever have to worry about seeing them again. They know things are going to go wrong, and if they do, they're there for you. And that's the difference. That's what makes them such a solid place to do business with, and that's why they've been open for 49 years. Service after the sale. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you get the games this fall, make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. Check out the store or check them out online, maroonandco.com. You can see their incredible line of MSU gear, stuff you cannot get anywhere else. Everything you need maroon and white is right there at Maroon & Co. And if you want to get the Bulldog Initiative stuff you see the coaches wearing, it's only available at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off any regular price item. Some exclusions do apply. Before you're at Davis Wade this fall, make sure you're at Maroon & Co. All right, Robbie, we are to Oklahoma on our SEC previews. I've been saying it for a while now. I just don't believe that they're SEC ready. I think that Oklahoma is going to be in for a world of hurt this year. They have a very tough schedule. one of the tougher ones in the conference. Let's just dive right into it. They start off the season, I think they'll be 3-0, Robbie. They start off on a Friday night against Temple. Then they host Houston, which would have been a conference game for them last year. They get to play Tulane, which could be a tricky game. You remember Tulane a few years ago went to Oklahoma and nearly walked out of there with a win. But I think all in all, even with my concerns about the Sooners down the road, I think they start off 3-0.
Yeah. John Summerall there, I think he's going to do some good things, but I don't know if they're going to be ready just yet. I think the talent gap's just going to be so big there.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Week 4 is their SEC opener, their first ever SEC game. They get to host Tennessee.
That'll be a fun one.
Should be a good game. It's fun. It's interesting that it's two teams. They've played each other recently. Baker Mayfield played against Tennessee, so it hasn't been that long ago since the Volunteers hooked up with the Sooners. I like
nice
the Vols.
Nice color contrast.
Big time. I like the Vols here, even on the road.
Yeah, just hey, that's a really cool storyline too with Josh Heupel going back to Norman. I think, you know, going to be pretty cool. Venables is going to have should have a pretty good plan defensively, but I, you know, because he's very familiar with that offense, but I just don't know. It's at Norman. I like Tennessee a lot. I think I'll lean Tennessee, just the whole experience factor of, you know, I just don't know about Oklahoma just yet as far as their roster is concerned and being ready for this move. I think I'll take Tennessee too.
Great. 3-1. Next week they're at Auburn. That is a sneaky game. Like, I don't think Auburn's going to be great this year, but that is a game that Auburn is a tough place to go play. And especially if that game's at night, that could be very, very tricky for Oklahoma. I like the Sooners just because I don't like Peyton Thorne at all, but I won't be totally shocked if Auburn finds a way to win that game.
If they lose these first two games,
they're in real trouble, Robbie.
They're in trouble.
Yeah.
They're in real trouble. Ugh. I think I'm going to Auburn.
Ooh. Ooh, Robbie.
With it being at Auburn, this
you're not
going to
like
be
the rest of the schedule, then. Let's go ahead.
This is probably going to be the ABC game, I'm guessing.
No. No, because Alabama, Georgia's that day.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it'll be SEC Network.
They could be the 2:30 game. Who does Ole Miss have?
I mean, it doesn't matter. It's going to be the midday game anyways. The crowd's going to be juiced up for that.
Because we already know, I think, that State versus Texas is the 11 a.m. game that day, right?
I believe that's correct.
So, Ole Miss-Kentucky is also early that day. So, no, I'm sorry. State versus Texas is in the afternoon window. So, they could be the 2:30 game.
That means both of those games are either ESPN or ABC.
Right. Kentucky at Ole Miss is the 11 a.m. game that day. So, Oklahoma at Auburn, it could just be on ESPN at like 5 o'clock.
It doesn't matter, I guess, what channel it's on, but
well,
I was just thinking.
I'm more about the time than anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I'm going to Auburn. With that being at Auburn?
Oh, Robbie, your prediction is going to make the people mad. They're off the next week, the Sooners, and then it's the Red River Shootout. It's the game against Texas in the Cotton Bowl. I have Texas winning that.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay. So you've got them 3-3. I got them 4-2.
0-3 in the SEC.
Oh, Venables is going to be in trouble if you're right.
Hell, well, I mean, they won 6 games two years ago.
Yeah.
And last year, without Lebby's offense, where would that team be?
Yeah. All right. South Carolina at home, I think they get that one. They get back.
I think they'll be able to get that, yeah.
All right, so then they're at Ole Miss.
I think they're losing that game.
They're losing that game. I think the Rebels will take them down. So you've got them at this point at 4-4, and I've got them at 5-3. They have a very tricky game the next week, Robbie. Very tricky.
Please be aware of this ball game. Whatever you do, do not overlook.
Don't overlook Maine. They can get you.
but I'm going to overlook the Black Bears.
I'll take the Sooners to win, but, buddy, it's going to be tight. All right. At Missouri.
Oof. Going Missouri.
Oof. So I think Oklahoma, I have Oklahoma winning this one. I just feel like Oklahoma will get one that maybe we don't expect them to get. That's the this is the one, right? Bye week, and then the last two, Alabama, and then at LSU. I got them finishing 0-2.
Oof. So you had them.
I have them 7-5.
At 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
I've got them at 6-6.
You had, if you got them at 6-6, who are they beating, Alabama or LSU? You've got them.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I picked them losing their last three.
If you've got them losing Alabama.
So, so 5-7?
He's gone. They got to fire him. You can't go on like that in the SEC. Two out of his 3 years, they've been 6-5 wins. You got to move on.
I feel like maybe I'm being too down on them. Like, I can't imagine them going 5-7. But when you break it down, there's just
in the Big 12, they play.
When you break it down, there's like, there is one game in the SEC that looks like it should for sure be a win.
There's only one SEC that I would say is not a toss-up. But at Auburn, and, I mean, if they were hosting Auburn, I'd say, yeah, they'll win, no problem. And I still have them winning. But at Auburn, it's dicey, for sure.
Well, here's what I'll say.
Hmm.
I can see them beating Tennessee.
Yeah.
I can see them beating Auburn.
Mm-hmm. They did beat Texas last year.
I can see them beating Missouri.
Yeah.
So those are three swing games. So they could win 8 games.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if they won more than 8.
5-7, Robbie. They're going to fire him. There's no question.
Oh, yeah. The pressure's going to be too high.
Yeah.
And this will probably be clipped where I said they were 5-7, but I break down the schedule.
Today, I understand the pick.
So. I break down the schedule, and like this schedule's tougher than Mississippi State's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they play of the – We keep saying there are 6 teams that are playoff/title contenders, right? Oklahoma plays all of them except for Georgia. They play Tennessee, Texas, Ole Miss, Missouri, and Alabama.
Yeah.
They have to go to LSU to finish off the year.
I mean, this was a tough break. This was definitely welcome to the SEC.
Yeah, I agree. So,
let's look at real quick. I wanted to look at Texas at least gets Vandy in Florida and Arkansas. And like their schedule's very manageable.
Yeah, Texas, of the other playoff contenders, they only play Georgia. I mean, that's
how
it.
Did that happen? If I was the SEC, I'm hammering Texas.
You know who,
Texas,
you know who,
right away. You know
who,
welcome
you
to
know
the
who
SEC.
Could tell
buddy.
Us how that happened? Texas A&M. They're like, they're already getting whatever they want. So, all right, we'll do South Carolina next week. Tomorrow shows the rumblings. Get your questions in. Robbie will send off the tweet, and we will be happy to answer them. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian. Hey, Dad, thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.